And with that, the people of God say amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Trying to get us emotional, aren't you?
Hey, forgive me if you hear the music.
Not really. You don't really hear. Why, somebody got music nearby?
Yeah, yeah. Praise the Lord, though, that he's able to block it.
Amen. Can you hear our music? That's right. We got the crypto music in the background. We can hear it here, but can you guys?
We barely hear it in here.
Yeah, barely.
I don't think you can hear it.
Nope.
We should bring it up. Turn it up. All right. Where did we leave off on page 9? Does anybody know? Dead air. Nobody remembers. Okay. We gotta start tagging these things. I usually do that in the book. I have the little tag. But I didn't do that in the PDF here, and I've never done it on this tablet before. I've got it. I might have it.
Page 20.
No, page 20 in the book, but what on the PDF? Anybody used a PDF last week?
Upon what condition?
We have page 20.
Nine.
Page 9 in PDF.
The book.
Yeah, but what's part of page 9?
Upon what?
Oh, okay. We'll just start a new chapter. Okay. Well, I guess you can call it a chapter.
Upon what conditions?
Okay, get ready, my brother.
Yeah.
Second Peter, you see it? All right. How was this? Well, okay, we're all on the same page then? Physically and spiritually? Don't throw that in there. All right. How was this accomplished? Upon what conditions was this wonderful transaction wrought? Let's backtrack a little bit. Oh, yeah, the promise that was made to Adam. You know, this. Let me read the last paragraph of the previous, well, the same page. It says, thus it is seen that from the promise made to Adam to the close of the apostolic times, there were men and women all along the way who laid hold of the righteousness of God and had evidence that their lives were pleasing to him. And so she says, upon what conditions? And so how was this accomplished? Upon what conditions was this wonderful transaction wrought? Was it because the times and conditions in which these men and women lived were favorable to righteousness? Or was it due to the special and superior qualities inherent in those who reached the high table lands of godliness? And I wouldn't think it'd be about the times they live in, because it's always been kind of evil in this world, last 6,000 years, wouldn't you think? But anyway, let's read. All the records of the times and of individuals give a negative answer. Okay, so there you go. They were people with natures like our own, and their environment vexed their righteous souls from day to day, according to 2 Peter 2, verses 7 and 8.
2 Peter chapter 2, 7 and 8 says, and deliver just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds.
So, that answered the question. It's always been this way. So she says that,
He said.
This is AG, right? AG Daniels. They obtained the priceless blessing of righteousness in the one way, the only way it has been possible for any human being to secure it since Adam sinned. The way of being made righteous is given great prominence in the New Testament. The clearest and fullest exposition is found in the Epistle of Paul to the Romans. At the very beginning of his argument, the apostle declares, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, thus shall live, the just shall live by faith. That's Romans 1, verses 16 and 17. So, it is the gospel that reveals to men the perfect, and if anybody's got anything to say, please. Yeah. So it is the gospel that reveals to men the perfect righteousness of God. The gospel also reveals the way that righteousness may be obtained by sinful men, namely by faith. This is presented at a greater length in the following statement from Romans 3, verses 20 to 22 that says, by the deeds, the works of the law, there shall no flesh be justified or accounted righteous in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law, or without the works of the law, is manifested, being witnessed or approved of and accepted by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. You know, I remember when I was a young Christian, I never understood that about how the gospel changes people. But when you start reading and studying more and more, it does happen. It does literally changes you. And that's more or less what he is saying here. I keep forgetting that we're not in Sister Lights, right?
Peculiar. Peculiar.
Yeah, you become peculiar. And so since we're declared peculiar in these last days, and they were called peculiar in the Old Testament, then yeah, this has been going on for 6,000 years. No one gets righteous without Christ, which proves he was involved in the Old Testament, even though people don't see it. Like, the gospel message is there in the Old Testament. We know that. All right, so going on. Romans 3. Oh, I see. He's going to get him. It says in the first part of this statement, the apostle shows the part which the law takes in the problem of justification. What it says by the law is the knowledge of sin. So the law doesn't save you. It just tells you you need to be saved. You know, that always reminds me of, you know, the mirror. That's why Paul was it, that used the analogy that the law of God is like a mirror. And you could walk up to a mirror and you got stuff all over you. Say you just fell in a puddle of mud. You got the mud all over you. The mirror tells you where the mud is. You can't clean it, though. So the law can't make us saved. It can just tell you we need to get saved. And so that's why he says, by the law is the knowledge of sin. The knowledge of sin, not the deliverance from sin. The law points out sin. In so doing, it declares the whole world to be guilty before God. And he's more or less just says Romans 3, but he's going to start chipping away at Romans 3 as we go down. But it says, but the law cannot deliver from sin. No effort of the sinner to obey the law. No effort of the sinner to obey the law. And he says it twice. You see that?
Yeah.
To obey the law. Because I do that sometimes when I'm typing and I forget I type something and I just type it again. Then when you go back and proofread, I go, what happened there? So to obey the law can cancel. No effort of the sinner to obey the law can cancel his guilt or bring to him the righteousness of God. The righteousness, Paul declares, is by faith of Jesus Christ, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation or an atoning sacrifice through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. That was Romans 3:22-5. Well, pieces of it. Because it wasn't all three verses. So, I wonder if you should take turns reading. No? Okay. It's up to you guys. You want to take turns reading?
Okay.
You want to?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So you want to? Okay, I'll finish this page and you take page 11. All right.
Okay.
Thank you, brother. And if you want to say something, you're doing. If I want to, I'll jump in and see what it, or anybody else. Anybody can. Okay.
If I could say,
I don't even, huh?
So, this is me, Gilbert, sir. I just read that. I just saw that that bit that you were reading, but the law cannot. If I could just reread that for you.
Okay. Oh yeah, maybe I'm misunderstanding it. Maybe he is. Okay, yeah, please do it.
Yeah, it says, and this is the very last part of that paragraph where it starts with in the first part of the statement at the bottom. It states, right. But the law cannot deliver from sin, and this is the last sentence. No effort of the sinner to obey the law can cancel his guilt or bring to him the righteousness of God.
Well, yeah, it still looks like it's repeated. Does it look different? I don't like the word that can be put together. Some people, you know, but so no effort of the sinner to obey the law can cancel his guilt.
Yeah,
I just looks like it's been
twice.
What does it say in the book?
In what book? You got in the book?
In the physical book.
Oh, you got the. Oh yeah, I got the physical book. Right on my desk. Am I actually in the room? Does it say Nicholas in there?
It's like that in his book.
It doesn't say it?
No.
Oh, the PDF may have messed it up.
Yeah.
Which is the time you talk.
Oh, so it's Fran talking. Oh, I know. I have mine turned down all the way. Wow. That's cute. Yeah. Well, it would probably be page 20 or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I think
page 20.
Oh, look for the beginning of the chapter and then go down towards the bottom of the page.
In the first part.
No, look. No. Did you find the chapter, though?
Yeah. There.
But the law?
Yeah, it's a typo.
It is a typo.
No effort of the sinner to obey the law can cancel.
Okay, it's a typo. All right. So, yeah, it shouldn't have been repeated. Oh, somebody put it in the room?
Yeah, Austin did.
Well, thank you.
They might even, the audio stream is being recorded. Oh, they need to do that. I don't want to record it. How do you unrecord it?
You're going to
mess up my phone. You know?
Oh, there, Joanne. Yeah, but I don't see any text yet.
Oh,
I never see text yet on my cell phone. I just see all the people. That's it. All right, so I'm going to finish that. Okay, where were we? Okay, page 11. I'm going to finish the last paragraph, and then you jump on 11, brother. And then I'll do the verses that are on the, you know, where it's just a location and it's not speaking the verse.
Right.
So it is through faith in the blood of Christ that all the sins of the believer are canceled and the righteousness of God is put in their place to the believer's account. Oh, what a marvelous transaction. What a manifestation of divine love and grace. Here is a man born in sin, as Paul says. He is filled with all unrighteousness. His inheritance of evil is the worst imaginable. His environment is as the lowest depths known to the wicked. In some way, the love of God shining from the cross of Calvary reaches that man's heart. He yields, repents, confesses, and by faith claims Christ as his Savior. The instant that is done, he is accepted as a child of God. His sins are all forgiven. His guilt is canceled. He is counted righteous and stands approved, justified for the divine law. And this amazing, miraculous change, they take place in one short hour.
Oh, wow.
That is righteousness by faith. And that reminds me of the day
I saw the Lord.
In one short hour. Yeah. Because in scriptures, or even in old days, you know, one short hour means immediate. I mean, this is like within an hour, just... Or within a few moments. That's what happened to me when I found Christ. How did you get it to
Anthony is asking a question.
Oh, okay.
I said, can I say something?
Yeah, please do.
Anthony.
And then you jump on the
Anthony. Okay.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay, yeah. So two examples of how that statement right there where it says the instant that it is done, he's accepted as a child of God, his sins are all forgiven, his guilt is canceled, so on and so forth. Two prime examples I could think of that I noted in my book was the thief on the cross and the woman caught in adultery in John chapter 8. Because immediately they both, you know, walked away righteous in the sight of Christ. And then, and they were forgiven. And, We know Mary, who was the woman caught in adultery, she ended up washing the feet of Christ with her tears, and she became one of his most beloved disciples. And the thief, we know he was promised eternal life. So I just wanted to throw that in there, how that example of what A.G. Daniels said could be found in the scriptures.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah, because that happened, you could see that, how it's, yeah. That's what he's getting at here. Okay. Oh, yeah. So, amen to that. Go ahead.
Okay. Let's read this one.
Oh, I got the picture.
Yeah. Having made these clear, forceful statements as to the way of being made righteous, the apostle then illustrates the truth declared by a concrete case. He takes the experience of Abraham as an example. What shall we say then that Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, had found? Romans 4:1. Anticipating his answer, we reply, Abraham had found righteousness. But how? By what method? Paul tells us, if Abraham were justified, accounted righteous by works, he had whereof to glory, but not before God.
Romans 4:2.
Made righteous by works is a suggestion, a proposal. If such a thing could be, is that the way by which to obtain righteousness? What said the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it is his belief was counted unto him for righteousness. Romans 4:3. And this statement settles forever the way by which Abraham obtained God's righteousness. It was not by works. It was by faith.
Somebody has a question. Yeah, that's, you've still got, okay. I'll do page 12. Okay. Wrong. But yeah. But yeah, who's got a question?
Jesse.
All right, go ahead.
So, when we are talking about how when someone claims the righteousness of Jesus Christ, right, I was wondering, does this apply to the First Testament, too, with King Nebuchadnezzar and King Cyrus?
Yeah, but they didn't know him as Christ back then. It's just like at Moses' day, Christ was the one that spoke from Sinai. So, yeah, Christ was always the one that was interacting with the people.
Amen.
Amen. All right, thank you. So Abraham's way, the only way.
Right,
that's why he's the father of faith, right?
All right, hold on.
All right. Okay, let's continue. So having settled the question as to how Abraham secured the righteousness of God, Paul proceeds to show that that is the only way anyone else can obtain righteousness. To him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Romans 4:5.
Reread that.
So to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness.
Yeah. What he says next makes perfect, because the such mercy.
Such mercy.
We don't deserve it.
Wow. That's why he said, what kindness, what great compassion. The Lord, who is righteousness in all his ways, offers his own perfect righteousness to any and every poor, weak, helpless, hopeless sinner who will believe what he says.
And then it says,
read it again. Read it again.
Yeah,
now, one more time. To him that worketh not, but believeth on him, his faith is counted for righteousness. Wow. So that's really the faith, the belief that we are accounted. So important, so fundamental is this way of righteousness that the apostle goes on through this entire chapter to restate and repeat and press home to all what he has made so clear in few words. Here are some of his statements. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of man, unto whom God imputed righteousness without works, Romans 4:6. And also in Romans 4:9 it says, we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. Also in Romans 4:21-25, it says, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness.
So it was, he had blind faith. The Lord said it. He believed it.
That settled it.
He was righteous because of that.
Amen. And
we gotta grasp that, because a lot of people don't understand it. That's why I like that bumper sticker. He said it, I believe it, that settles it. And that's the definition of righteousness.
Yes.
That's what he's, you know, Paul is saying here. So.
He said it, I believe it.
That settles it. Done deal.
Yeah. So now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed. If we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses, sins, and was raised again for our justification, righteousness. And it says more, this clear-cut positive statement reveals to every lost soul for all time the only way from sin and guilt and condemnation to righteousness and deliverance from condemnation and death. With this agree all the other statements of the scriptures regarding this great problem of being made righteous. Okay. The three words.
I think there's a question.
There's a question.
I think Austin just answered it.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, if you want. Looks like it.
Did he answer it? Well, we can share it with everybody that way, just in case somebody else has the question.
Okay.
Which this?
So where is it?
Who's Denise?
Denise.
Hmm.
On page 23, was A.G. Daniels correct in saying, here is a man born in sin? Is that correct? I thought it was man born with a sinful nature, not born in sin. I thought man was born innocent from the womb. Maybe I am misunderstanding. Sorry to interrupt.
Yeah. Looks like Austin did answer.
Okay.
Got it right. So yeah, it's not so much, because otherwise it'd be what the Vatican says: original sin. We had the stain of original sin on us. No, we're born with a nature to sin. And so,
yeah.
It's just like, who was it? Was it David?
Yeah, David.
Yeah.
Psalms 51:5 by Sister Danny.
Oh, is it?
Posted here.
Yeah, I was shapen in iniquity.
Behold, I was shapen.
That's what I was
in iniquity say. And see. And in sin did my mother conceive me.
Yeah.
Amen. Thank you.
It's not that his mother was, you know, stepping on, you know, whatever. She was in a sinful world when she, you know.
Exactly.
That's where the Vatican messes up. They don't realize. That's why they call Mary ever virgin and ever sinless. And
what they call that? Original sin?
Original sin.
Yeah.
And then they say Mary had an immaculate
conception.
Which means she must have had, must have been impregnated by Christ, by the Father, on another planet. Because this one's got sin on it.
It's really a mess. Yeah.
But that's where they mix it up. And if people don't study Bibles, they'll believe it. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, exactly.
Right. So yeah, Austin answered.
Right. Thank you, Father. All right, let me continue.
The three words.
What are those?
Righteousness
by faith. Okay, those are the three words.
It's nice to get the clarity.
Yeah.
Because there's some babies, they don't understand.
Always,
and that's why I like, that's why I always do that bumper sticker.
It's always good to hear it again.
Yeah.
Anyway. Amen.
Because we're righteous because we just simply believe what he said.
Amen.
And the account that comes to us is righteous.
Mm-hmm.
We're your righteousness. So
again, these three words, righteousness by faith, express the most wonderful transaction in this material world, which the human intellect can grasp.
And that's why the Lord put it in our language. Mm-hmm. That's the only way we're going to get it.
We are going to understand it. Yes. And they express the greatest gift that God in his infinite plenitude could bestow upon mankind. The great fact expressed by this phrase of three words, the righteousness by faith, has been studied, expounded, and rejoiced in by millions during past ages. And it is still the theme of the most sublime interest and importance to the human family. Reviewing these statements, we find that the law of God demands righteousness from all who are under its jurisdiction.
And that's everybody.
Yeah, everybody.
Because jurisdiction is universal.
No exemption.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but through transgression, all have made themselves incapable of rendering the righteousness which the law demands, because we fall short of the glory of God, right?
Oh, good point. But Anthony just put in there, Satan rebelling is the original sin.
Satan's rebellion.
That's wrong.
Amen.
Yeah, because they're Satanists. Boy, they're defending him. They're taking the original sin off of Satan, putting it on us.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I never caught that.
Wow, yeah.
That is heavy. He's got to put on my original stuff.
Praise the Lord.
On the Antichrist.
Don't forget
to. Anthony and Brother Dwayne.
Dwayne did it?
Yeah, originals. Brother Dwayne said, original sin is that when Lucifer rebelled in heaven, or when Adam and Eve.
Yeah. All right. So thank you, Brother
Dwayne. Thank you.
All right.
Praise the Lord. All right. So where am I now?
Amen.
Okay. Let me go backtrack. But through transgression, all have made themselves incapable of rendering the righteousness which the law demands.
Okay, now I know where you're at.
Yeah. What then is the sinner to do? All right, this is exciting. What? This is his transgression of God's righteous law has made him unrighteous. This has brought him under the condemnation of that law. Being condemned, the penalty of his transgression must be paid. The penalty is death. Yeah. That's the wages of sin.
Yeah.
Death.
Right? Is that Romans 6:23?
Yeah. So he owes a debt that demands his life. He is under a condemnation that he can never remove. He is facing a penalty he can never escape. What can he do? What? Is there any way out of this dark, hopeless situation? Yes, there is. Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
He quoted Romans 3:21-22. It says, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed, approved, and accepted by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe.
This is what I love about this whole message in this book. Christ, power, righteousness.
Yeah, it's all about Christ. He's our righteousness.
Him, then we're righteous because we believe absolute truth on it. By the way, Brother Dwayne, can you email me that comment you made? Because I don't want to forget it. Thanks, bro. He'll do it. He's my brother.
Amen.
All right, thank you, brother.
Thank you.
Because I want to put it on the site, on the Antichrist section where I got the original sin.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so continue. This reveals the way of meeting the demands of the law, and emphatically states that the only way of doing so is by faith. To the natural, unilluminated mind, this solution of the dark problem is a mystery. Because they spiritually discern, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. The law requires obedience. It demands righteous deeds in the activities of life. How can such demands be met by faith instead of by works? The answer is given in plain words in Romans 3, 24-25. Yeah, so Romans chapter 3 is loaded, right?
Yeah, I know. That's why all he said at the top was Romans 3. You knew he was going to
laugh at it. Amen.
So, yeah.
Okay, so this is the plain words. The answer. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God had set forth to be a propitiation, an atoning sacrifice through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God.
Wow.
Yeah, so when we...
oh,
wow. So when we accepted Christ by faith, we receive his righteousness, and all the past sins
are gone. His death.
Huh.
Is our death when we kill off the old creature. You'll let the old man die.
And we put on
his righteousness.
We
are born again.
Oh my, loaded.
Yeah, and it's just through the forbearance of God. You know, we got to latch on to this, not just on, you know, matters of faith and salvation, because there's going to come a day when the Lord moves us to lay hands on someone. Like, say, it's a little bit.
That's a goosebump.
Yeah, we're out there in the street, let's say, and the Holy Spirit tells us to go in. Up to this person, talk to them or lay hands on them. Let's say they're all crippled up. He says, lay hands on them. We got to have in our minds that it will happen because he promised. And since we have his righteousness, because he said it, I believe it, that settles it. He said I could heal him because he says it all over the word. We can go forth to do these things, and we walk up with that faith, that guy's going to get healed.
Yeah, so I just remember what the apostles did. You know, Peter, James and John,
they just proceed. Get up.
Yeah, get up.
Yeah.
I don't have nothing. I don't have silver or gold.
But what I do have,
I'm going to give you. Right?
It has to be built in us.
Yeah.
It's built in us.
It has to be built in us.
Right?
And so we can remember this.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, not even remember. We don't have to remember. It's got to be built in our hearts and our minds. All this footwork.
Yeah.
But Anthony. Yeah, amen. Anthony is going to say, he has something to say here in regards to what we're talking about. So please, brother, share.
Share. Talk.
No, when you were saying how, you know, the Lord's going to move upon us to go and lay hands upon somebody, you know, the discernment is going to be there that person's going to receive the healing, because when Christ went around and healed the people, he didn't tell them that the miracle made you whole. Your faith is what made
your
you whole.
Faith. Yes. Everything is faith.
Yeah.
It's not by word, but
because,
by faith.
Yeah, amen. Right? So when they had faith, which so many people get hooked up on that word faith and they can't understand it, they can't define it. It just means, I believe what Jesus said. And since I believe what Jesus said, I'm going to get healed. Or I believe what Jesus said, or I'm going to, you know, be saved or whatever, anything Jesus
your
said.
Your faith has made you whole, right?
I mean, now where does it go?
It's always your faith that makes you whole.
Just a question.
Stephen.
Anthony. Anthony just answered it.
How do you guys read all that and then answer it?
Check your email. What is this? Check your email by the link.
Where did we leave off? At the end of that, Romans 3, 24 and 5.
Okay,
you just pick it up where it says a little hard.
I don't know if you've noticed,
you just read three pages.
It's your turn now.
No, it isn't. I mean, if it's okay with you. Can you read?
Yeah.
If everybody's okay with that,
yeah.
And then I'll chime in once in a while.
Sure.
Okay, because I like the way you're doing it.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
To focus a little better.
God be the glory.
Yeah, but didn't you know,
there are some posting here.
Okay, good.
Anthony, you wanted to speak again?
No, Stephen. Stephen? He asked
I'm afraid to touch anything.
And then Anthony answered.
You want me to read some of the comments here?
Read the question, and then I think.
Sean posted here. What is this? A belief in his death and suffering for our sins. believe that his righteousness will be swapped out for our sinfulness.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Griffin here.
Believe in his divine power to change our hearts.
Right.
Faith in him. Oh, praise the Lord.
Well, brother Stephen had something there to get him on.
Yeah. Brother Stephen, where is that? Does that mean we do not need to confess of sins we committed in the past before we met Christ?
Were you baptized?
When you baptized.
Because they're all washed away at that time.
Yeah.
You don't really have to. But the devil will remind you. And so when the devil reminds you to try to make you feel guilty, I confess it.
That's why the text, 1 John 1:9, is there.
Yeah.
It's a that's promise.
After you accept Christ. Yeah.
Yeah, so,
the faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Right. So when we accepted Christ and repented, he actually forgave all the past sins that we have. You know?
Yeah.
But sanctification is a daily process.
Yeah.
Right?
We're set apart for holy use.
Yeah.
And you gotta keep in mind that it literally says in the scriptures, when you're baptized,
your past,
you let the old man die.
Right.
And then you look at the old man as Christ hanging on a cross because mm-hmm. he took our sins, and that's our old man.
And that is justification. Okay. So the past sin has been forgiven, but now you have to live a sanctified life.
Yeah.
That is a daily living.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Grow and grow and grow.
Grow and grow.
Like the song of the kids.
Yeah, as we grow, read your Bible, pray every day, and grow.
And don't read the Bible.
Shrink. That's really true.
I mean, the first time I ever heard it was from our kids, the seven Abraham mm-hmm. kids.
Amen.
So, amen.
So we need to confess all our known sins, past and present. Okay. Yeah. So
that was Brother Stephen, right?
But, yeah.
Okay. Was there anybody else after that?
So,
I also forgot to put something in there.
No more questions.
People randomly putting stuff.
Sister Hannah.
That's huge what she put in there.
Oh, wow.
I know.
You want to read?
We only got, 12 minutes?
Okay. So let's read this one. I think.
Prayer for the publican.
The prayer of the, where is this? In Christ's Object Lesson 159.
Oh, you going to read it?
Yeah, let's read it. Maybe it's
maybe we'll get something there. Yeah.
Amen. Okay, the prayer of the publican. Okay.
She's all sorry maybe we need it.
The Holy Spirit impressed this to you. So, the prayer of the publican was heard because it showed dependence reaching forth to lay hold upon omnipotence. Self to the publican appeared nothing but shame. Thus, it must be seen by all who seek God. By faith that renounces all self-trust, the needy suppliant is to lay hold upon infinite power. No outward observances can take the place of simple faith and entire renunciation of self. But no one can empty himself of self. We can only consent for Christ to accomplish the work. Then the language of the soul will be, Lord, take my heart, for I cannot give it. It is thy property. Keep it pure, for I cannot keep it for thee. Save me in spite of myself, my weak and Christ-like self. Mold me, fashion me, raise me into a pure and holy atmosphere, where the rich current of thy love can flow through my soul. Oh, I have a song on this.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is not only at the beginning of the Christian life that this renunciation of self is to be made. At every advance step heavenward, it is to be renewed. That's why every day we have to renew ourselves. All our good works are dependent on a power outside of ourselves. Therefore, there needs to be a continual reaching out of the heart after God, a continual, earnest, heartbreaking confession of sin and humbling of the soul before Him. Only by constant renunciation of self and dependence on Christ can we walk safely.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yeah,
then, yeah, we needed to hear that. So yeah.
Thank you, sister.
Sister Hannah, this is loaded.
Yeah.
That's like one of the prayer earlier. You know, to take out all selfishness in our hearts and that. So yeah, praise the Lord.
Anthony.
Anthony.
Mic drop.
Mic drop. Amen. Okay, so let me continue in after Romans 3:24-25.
Yep.
What a marvelous solution of the awful problem of sin. Only our infinite, all-wise, and compassionate Father could and would provide such a solution. Only inspired writings could reveal it. And this way of making a sinner righteous is found only in the untainted gospel of Christ. Imagine that. It's nothing, you know, it's nothing gospel of Allah or Muhammad or Buddha, you know. It's only, only by Christ.
And it's untainted.
Untainted.
Like the NIVs and all the other Bibles,
It's a pure, right? It says here in, what is this? Review and Herald, November 4, 1890. By faith, he, the sinner, who has so grievously wronged and offended God, can bring to God the merits of Christ, and the Lord places the obedience of his Son to the sinner's account. Christ's righteousness is accepted in place of man's failure. You see?
And you notice the Pope recently, just in the last year, 2 years, stated that Christ is the failure.
Yeah.
Three times he's declared that Jesus Christ is a failure. In three different ways he did it. He did, and at the beginning of it all, he even said that Jesus really didn't resurrect.
Yeah.
There was no real resurrection. And people are believing it.
Yeah.
So,
okay, continue.
Oops, I think
any comment on that?
Amen, Stephen. Blasphemy, yeah.
Blasphemy, yeah, disgusting, really. Okay, continue. Christ came to this world as our Redeemer. He became our substitute. He took our place in the conflict with Satan and sin. He was tempted in all points as we are, but never sinned. He loved righteousness and hated iniquity. His life of perfect obedience met the highest demands of the law. That's why he became our example, right?
Amen.
And oh, the wonder and the marvel of it is that God accepts Christ's righteousness in the place of our failure, our unrighteousness.
You know what the 144,000 could understand better than most, better than anybody? Christ was the example for the 144 when it comes to the point where the perfect, you know, whoever's holy remains holy.
Yes.
Because whoever's righteous remains righteous, but they end up dying to get there. So, the last 6,000 years, or even during the.
Because they pass all through these trials, the plagues, everything.
Yeah. And that's because they have that perfect faith. Jesus says, look, I can do it in this body, and the 144,000 actually do it. That's what Satan kind of stopped him from doing.
Yeah. So Anthony's hands there. go and speak.
Yeah, go for it, bro.
Speak. You said that the how Christ was the example of the 144,000. And then you read in the Spirit of Prophecy how it says that Enoch, now because I actually did a study on Enoch few weeks ago.
Yeah.
How Enoch.
He's an example too.
Yeah.
Enoch was the example, but then I was reading also in Sister White's writings elsewhere how Enoch walked the way he walked because he made Christ a constant companion. So Enoch learned through Christ. Christ, you know, teaches all of us and the 144,000 pick it up. So it all falls back on Christ no matter what you do.
Yeah. It's just like with the forefathers doing the studies. If their hearts are open for us, and we, you know, investigate their stuff. Just like commandment number 5, honor your parents, you take the truth your parents give you. We always thought honor your parents meant to obey them and everything that they say and do. But what if they're Catholics?
Mm.
So we take the truth that they gave us and go further with it. Well, you look at Enoch.
Yeah, because Enoch represents the living saints, the 144,000, yeah. As well as Elijah.
Yeah.
They represent the living saints, yeah. while Moses represents the righteous dead.
The one that died. Yeah, the Mount of Transfiguration.
Right. So even Sister White said that there are Enochs in this our day.
Yeah.
That means the possibility, you know, is there to live a perfect life, even you are in the midst of this corrupt world.
Yeah, but do you ever, and that's why there's a book of Enoch out there.
Yeah. To divert the attention, right?
Yeah, but here's the thing. When Jesus did the Mount of Transfiguration, he was Moses, obviously, for the dead in Christ at rise.
Right, and Elijah.
But he used a prophet,
mm-hmm.
Elijah, to represent the last days, because you've got to understand prophecy in the last days to make it home.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't understand prophecy, you're not going to know anything that stuff's going out there right now.
Yeah, exactly.
That's why these guys, you know, they ask, who do you watch? You know, so just look at the news. You'll see the prophecy.
Yeah,
awesome.
I couldn't believe that preacher asked me.
Just like the testimony of Jesus is spirit of prophecy.
Yeah.
So that's why they keep on attacking the spirit of prophecy. Look at Auntie Sebi.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're denying the spirit of prophecy.
He's
saying inventing the Sunday law. Yeah.
and she admitted too. She doesn't even watch end time events.
Yes.
Oh,
yeah.
See?
Yeah.
She doesn't worry about it, right?
Yeah,
doesn't care. Yeah. So yeah. It's really very, very sad to hear this from, you know, the Adventists like that, but it's all being fulfilled. So going back to that, 144,000, you know, like what Brother Anthony said about Enoch like that. And since there, you know, 144,000, it's actually now being counted, right? Mm-hmm. They started.
Yeah. Yeah.
Started to count already.
Yeah. I mean, he's
That's why the pastor, you know, all these righteous people now, you know.
Yeah.
If we have to strive, according to Sister White, strive to be among the 144,000.
Yeah.
Right? So he started to count now. Do you notice? He's now calling his people in different countries. Counties, not only in U.S., my dear brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
So we have to be more serious now in our walk. So another hand is there?
Austin.
Brother Austin?
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Oh, Dwayne.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So I posted Jude 1:24. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. And Hannah and I were just talking about this, that we're talking about Enoch. Enoch was translated to heaven, and there's Enochs in our day, right? And we're talking about the 144,000, but sometimes our minds tend to think that Enoch was a special person. Or the prophets, Moses, Elijah, Abraham were special people. But the scripture tells us that they were subject to like passions as we are.
Amen.
So amen.
We're in the same position as them, that it's only through Christ's righteousness for them and for us. But we know that we can be perfect because it's only through Christ. Just as they were, so can we be. And so I just wanted to mention that. But sometimes we tend to think that, oh, they were special, when that's not true at all.
But I still see that connection with Elijah standing there because he's a prophet. The Lord could use Enoch. He could have Enoch standing there next to him and Moses. But he chose Elijah.
Elijah.
Yeah, and he was a prophet. And you have to understand prophecy today. Look what the angel said in Revelation 19:10. You just said it. You know, the testimony of Jesus Christ, spirit of prophet.
Right.
And so we have to understand prophecy if we're ever going to be able to get home, if you're alive in these last days. So
Anthony has something about Enoch.
Oh, let me read this again. Okay. It says here, we need an abiding Christ with us, as Enoch had when he walked with God 300 years. We can have what Enoch had. We can have Christ as our constant companion. Enoch walked with God, and when assailed by the tempter, he could talk with God about him. He had no, it is written as we have, but he had a knowledge of his heavenly companion. He made God his counselor and was closely bound up with Jesus, and Enoch was honored in this course. He was translated to heaven without seeing death. And those who will be translated at the close of time will be those who commune with God on earth, those who make manifest that their life is hid with Christ in God, will ever be representing him in all their life practices. Selfishness will be cut out by the roots.
Amen.
Amen. Manuscript 38, 1897, paragraph 10.
Thank you.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you.
All right. It's a good place to pick up next week where it says Christ came to this world as our Redeemer.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah.
And for the PDF, that's page
13.
Page 13.
PDF. Yeah.
13. It's
right.
Yeah.
Okay.
At the bottom.
Because the book is much, it's probably what, page 30 or something?
Danny got it.
She said 28.2.
Okay. 28 book. Corrected.
Yeah.
Okay. So, all right. Sister Danny.
So who's
Danny?
Somebody pinning it?
Danny. Yeah. Sister Danny pinned it. Thank you, sister.
So we know where we left off then. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they believe in faith for the coming Redeemer. Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
Counting things down here. I have a list of SOP quotations about the life of Enoch. If anyone would like to copy of it, then let me know.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, praise the Lord.
Oh, cool.
I did a study on I think last year, titled Walk with God.
Mm.
Yeah, I talk about the walk Enoch's life also.
That'd be interesting.
Is there
something new, brother?
Mm-hmm. You know, he's if there's a Guinness Book of Record, he's the first man.
Yeah, well, yeah.
if there's a book of, the Guinness Book of Record, Enoch is the first man who came to heaven alive. Yeah. The first man.
That'll work.
Amen. So, anything else?
I think that's it.
That's it?
All right. So good. The prayers were amazing. So next week, same time, same channel.
Same room. Same room.
What is it called on Telegram?
Prayer and study meeting.
Is that room?
Room? Yeah, that's the Telegram room.
Yeah. I have a list. Send it.
Get your book.
Please bow your hearts. Heavenly Father, thank you so very much for your presence once again. Thank you for more inside information, as we call it down here. We thank you so much for giving us this new light every time we gather as a church family. And thank you for being with us when we prayed and teaching us how to pray better each and every day, all of us, myself included. Need to pray better. So thank you, Father, for blessing us this day once again, and for blessing us next week when we gather at the same time, this whole week, all the way up to the Sabbath, where we can be blessed by your word on Sabbath Eve and Sabbath day. Thank you, Father. And when our loved ones here are traveling back home, thank you so much, Father, for strong hedge of angels and protections around them on the road and in the air. Father, we love them and we need them to come back. And, the fellowship is also part of your will for us to come together and to be one in Christ. So that when that later evolves, we can just be blessed all together as one big happy family. Thank you, Father. Yeah. We offer this prayer in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. Amen. Amen.